All right, next up we got Cody from Oklahoma State.
Good morning. My name is Cody Leonard. I'm from Oklahoma State University. I'm currently a graduate research assistant under the direction of Dr. Josh Lofton. Today I'd like to speak with you about a portion of my master's research project titled Input Management for Improving Double Crop Soybean Production. I would first like to start out with a little overview of what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to start out with some background, the objective of our research, materials and methods, results, and conclude the presentation with a conclusion. So the greatest amount of area of soybeans are grown in the upper Midwest, where approximately 80% of all soybean acres are. If we look more specifically at the state of Oklahoma, for the interest of this research project, we see that in 2015, 960,000 hectares were grown, according to the USDA. With approximately half of that, or 450,000 hectares, being double crop, with the largest portion of the state's acres being located in the northeast corner and along the Oklahoma-Kansas border in the north central. As we can see, production follows the same trend, with the northeast portion and the north central portion having the largest amount of production in 2015. So what do I mean by when I'm saying double crop? For those of you who are not familiar with this double crop system, double crop is considered planting two successive crops within a calendar year. Most commonly, a small grain, or wheat in our case, followed by soybeans. The productivity of this system is typically lower due to a few reasons, the biggest being increased stress, which is a result of later planting date and being closest to the longest day of the year, which, as we know, with soybeans being a photosensitive crop, it affects the amount of light and day hours the plant receives. So this means we have to ensure that all other inputs are managed correctly in order to manage yield potential. So why are we concerned with high yield production and double crop? Well, high yield grain prices compared to other crops in the recent years have drove an interest in pushing production. This is especially true in terms of double crop, as the first crop, such as wheat, can cover much of the production cost of both crops. So it's important to determine what inputs will yield the highest returns and then how these various inputs interact with one another. Little is currently known with this regarding double crop, as there's not been very much double crop research done to this point on this subject. So what was the objective of our research? When we established this research project, we determined the impact of input management on double crop soybean production in the state of Oklahoma, looking specifically at two areas, productivity and profitability. In the interest of time today, I'm only going to cover the area of productivity. This is especially of interest to me as I grew up on a double crop soybean operation in northeast Oklahoma, so being able to take this research that I've gained up to this point and apply it back home will be of interest to me by the time I'm done. So setting up the double crop scenario, in October 2015, we planted two wheat varieties, Bentley and Gallagher. This was meant to represent a higher tillering variety in Gallagher and a lower tillering variety in Bentley. At the time of planting, we applied 66 kilograms of nitrogen, 44 kilograms of phosphorus, and 44 kilograms of potassium per hectare. We did not cut the individual plot weights of these two wheat varieties, but the area on average around 3,200 kilograms per hectare, which is not too bad for the state of Oklahoma, considering that's around 48 bushel an acre. So the first year of this double crop study, which was 2016, and will be the focus of our presentation today, we had a complete randomized block design with six treatments with a high and low value, similar to emission studies. For those who are not familiar with emission studies, emission studies are meant to show how multiple inputs interact with one another. What makes up an emission plot is stabilizing all inputs except for the input of interest. This can be done where all inputs are maintained at a low level and one at a high level, or all inputs are maintained at a high level with the input of interest being at a low level. The second part is how this project was set up. So the first year of this double crop study, we had six treatments, two plant populations, 370,000 or 450,000 seeds per hectare, two row spacings, 38 or 76 centimeters, seed treatment or no seed treatment, foliar insecticide or fungicide, which I will refer to as foliar IPN from here on out, with or without, a late season nitrogen application around R2 or without, with the application being of about 45.4 kilograms per hectare, and then a high input check where all inputs were maintained at a high level. Here I have a treatment design chart showing the different treatments and what was each component. The treatment components were along the left side, and the treatment names were along the top. So as I said, this trial was maintained with all treatments at a high level and then input of interest at a low level. So as we see here in the no-seed treatment, all inputs are at a high level except for the fact that we have no-seed treatment. It's the same across the board until we get to the kitchen sink treatment. And here we have everything at a high level. And at this point, I would like to note that there is both high and low seeding rate and narrow and wide row. And we're considering the narrow rows to be our high management practice. So a little more details about the first year of this study. We chose to use the channel variety 4806. Our planter was a Monson vacuum planter with 38 or 76 centimeter row spacing. Two different planters. Our insecticide for foliar IPM treatments was Lambda-Cy. We chose to use Besiege. Our fungicide was a pyrethroid and a metoconazole, which was Headline, and then the seed treatment, which was provided by Channel, consisted of two fungicides, the top two on this list, and two insecticides, the bottom two on this list, as active ingredients. So what data did we collect during this study? Stand counts were collected using 1 meter of row, then two locations of the plot, and then averaging the two locations together to get an overall stand count. Normalized difference vegetative index, or NDVI, was measured using a handheld green seeker and measuring the harvest rows, so the center two or four rows depending on the row spacing. Height was also taken, again, by averaging the center two or four rows, or harvest rows, and then we took yield characteristics, where we took samples collected from the outside two non-harvestable rows, where we looked at nodes, number of two and three bean pods. And then the middle 1.67 meters of each plot was harvested using a Wintersteiger Delta plot combine. Data was analyzed using SAS 9.4 with the procedure mixed for analyzing variance and Tukey mean separation. So if we look at the first of the results, the yield components for 2016, again, we have the treatments along the left side and the components along the top. I'd first like to point out two treatments in particular. If we look here at the no IPM treatment and the low population treatment, we see they have distinct differences. Though the majority of them, the other treatments, are all very similar to each other. But the no IPM treatment, we see if we move over to the two-bean pod, has the highest amount of two-bean pods and the lowest amount of three-bean pods. We are hypothesizing this to be due to the stress which they acquired during their growth due to different diseases or insect pressure throughout their life, though we did not take ratings or measurements during this time. Now, if we look at the low population treatment with 12.3 nodes per plant, we see that we have relatively the same amount of two and three bean pods. This we're hypothesizing is due to the fact that these plants were able to have more room to grow, were not under as much stress by competing with one another, and so they didn't have to grow as tall to compete for sunlight. So they were able to take that energy they required to fill those beans or those pods as best of their ability. Now if we move on to the yield results, again, I'd like to still focus in on these two treatments here, seeing that there's distinct differences between the two. Again, the no IPM treatment was the lowest in terms of yield and the lowest in terms of yield weight. Again, we can equivalent this to what we believe to be increased stress during its life cycle. Now, the low population treatment had the highest yield and the highest seed weight. So if we hypothesize that these plants weren't as stressed during their lifetime, we see that this and by they yielded the highest and they also had the highest seed weight. So what conclusions can I draw from this presentation? In high-stress production systems, intra-specific competition at higher seeding rates, there is a yield reduction. To maximize yield, pest management, or IPM, was the most critical component to the system, and there is no real benefit to seed treatment when it comes to increased yield. Well, some of you may think, how can I say that? Well, if we think about how seed treatment works, it's an upfront cost of around $13 a unit, and we see that here in the yield, we really did not get that much of a difference between the no seed treatment and the other treatments besides the low population treatment, which did include seed treatment. So what have we seen so far in 2017? Well, first, this is an aerial image taken shortly after the late season nitrogen was applied. So what we see here is that the plots in the yellow boxes, if you can see it up there, are distinctly have a lighter color green tint to them. And the rest of the plots are dark green. So this may signify that nitrogen may be a limiting factor in this year's trial. And I'd also like to say that we've seen distinct differences between the NDVI, the seed, or the height, and the stand counts up to this point, though we did not have enough data to present 2017 at this time. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Got time for questions. Any questions?
Yes, sir.
So you said you didn't take any insect or disease ratings?
No.
So you don't know what kind of pressure you had, you know, with the fungicide, you know, and how much impact that had on controlling those diseases and insects?
The question was, that we didn't take disease or insect ratings, and the answer to the question is no, we did not, so we do not know if we had what rating or how much significant insect pressure or disease pressure we had.
Any other questions? All right, let's thank the speaker.